adapted to dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then, to me, it was blinding. Bane, ladies and gentlemen, from The Dark Knight Rises. Hello, everyone. It's been a rough week, but as they say, the show must go on. This is episode 16. I am Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
This is Go Watch a Movie, a movie discussion podcast. Today, we watched a blockbuster, the standard blockbuster, and a very interesting film. We did the first of our suggestions line, suggestions from you guys, which we want more of. Just not from this particular person. We watched Zone Troopers, which was the suggested film this week, and Underworld Blood Wars. That's the one, right? Blood Wars?
Yes,
Blood Wars. Okay, Blood Wars. So, entertainment news. And so, don't have much this week, but some stuff I found interesting. Woody Harrelson, you may have heard this. This dude has kind of done he never went away, but he's been a resurgence, sort of, in his movies lately. You know, he's the Now You See Me movies, the Hunger Games movies, all that stuff. Well, turns out he is now going to be in the Han Solo film.
Really?
Yeah, so, which I think fits kind of what he does. You know, he's that shifty, shady, con artist-y type dude anyway, you know?
Yeah, I can see that from him.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that, because I've been enjoying just about everything that he's been in here lately. The Now You See Me movies, I like him in. Hunger Game movies as Haymitch, I like them in. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what he does with that role. And so far, Disney's on a roll. I mean, you know, Rogue One was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's that. The second one, Mad Max Wasteland. Yes, it is confirmed. Apparently there was a few issues with whether or not they were going to make it, but I think DVD sales of this last Mad Max showed them that, yeah, we need to make this, so it is happening.
Yeah, I'm excited for anything Mad Max, so on board.
And that last one was just nonstop from start to finish, just greatness. You can't go wrong with a dude on a big scaffolding while being driven, playing the guitar with speakers all around him. It's just, yeah. Wow, that looks bad. Sorry, Resident Evil's on TV. Anyway. but that was movie news today. We're going to get to the first of our movies. Everyone's favorite tackle-eating alien from Zone Troopers. Now, this movie is from 1985. I haven't looked up any other credits because I'm going to go ahead and say this before we even get into describing the movie. I don't recommend it.
Nope.
But this is the first of our suggestions. We wanted to prove to you all who are doubters that we will watch anything. No matter what it is, we'll watch it. We may regret it afterwards, but we'll watch it. Steve, friend of the show, Mr. Steve, recommended this one to us. Zone Troopers. Thoughts, Robert?
Besides the fact that I hated it, no. I mean, I tried to look for something good to say about it, and I just can't come up with anything. It just from top to bottom, I thought it was horrible.
Yeah. I'm pretty much in agree. It's one of those bad 80s B movies. So we start with a squad of soldiers and they're behind a Hitler regime, and these American soldiers are trapped and they get ambushed by the Nazis, and there's this legendary sergeant with them, and he has can't be killed or whatever.
He's the Iron Sarge.
And suddenly we get the twist that because their compasses aren't working, they are aliens around, and yeah, they find a spaceship, so on and so forth. Now they set up this running gag that I kind of spoiled in the description of the movie, but there's this one soldier who wants to smoke a cigarette. And every single time he tries to smoke a cigarette, someone takes it or asks him for one, and or it gets, you know, they get attacked right as he's about to smoke a cigarette. Well, he's about to do it again in a cave, and then all of a sudden, the alien takes it from him and starts eating it. Yes, this alien likes tobacco. it's just a weird, old-school sci-fi, quote-unquote, movie. Yeah, I'm trying to reach for redeeming
something. Nothing to reach for. There's nothing. I can't. Yeah.
The gags weren't very. I don't know. Oh, the one thing that did crack me up, I don't think it intentionally was meant for that, but there's a scene where one of the guys they're captured, he gets knocked out cold, and Hitler comes into the room. And the guy wakes up right as Hitler's leaning over him, and he punches Hitler right in the face. And he looks over at his buddy, he's like, did I just deck Hitler? And the guy's like, you sure did! And then that corny sitcom music, bah, 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 and they just smile, the biggest, cheesiest smiles, and then it fades to black. That wasn't the end of the movie, but it just fades to black like it's going to commercial or something. But, oh, yeah. That's the humor they went for in this one. And I like corny humor. Like, I'm a fan of the Men in Black series, which is just downright corniness. Mm-hmm. But this...
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing Steve's description of why he likes this movie so much, why he thinks it's so good and worth seeing, because I just couldn't, how far I reached.
You hear that, Steve? Leave us a Facebook message of why you like this one so much.
I need help seeing it, because I'm completely lost.
You and me both. I couldn't get on board.
Well, I was right there next to Plan 9 from Outer Space, as far as, you know, bad goes.
Yeah, this is one of those where you want to just hear a Mystery Science Theater bed underneath it, and you hear them crack jokes about it. But, hey, I can't diss people's tastes, and this one, you know, he liked, so...
For whatever reason.
Yeah, he suggested it to us. So we watched it just like we promised we would. I want to go on with this one, but I can't.
There's nothing much. I mean, I can't think of anything to say. You don't like it. You don't like it.
It's like Chucky when he bursts that door and he's mocking The Shining. And he's like, I can't think of a thing to say. But, yeah. So, Zone Troopers. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. I think that's a... Yeah, full on, don't watch it from Go Watch a Movie. Sorry, Steve. That brings us to Potter and Family promos.
This week on the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
My number 7 is another very recent film, and it's a film from the director of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 8. It's Looper. Starring Bruce Willis and Joseph.
That Gordon-Levitt. Is totally on my list. I hate that we're so agreeable. I knew this would be like this. Usually I'm f***ing all over Paul's face.
Well, I'm taking a f*** on your chest.
Yeah, exactly.
This week on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
It was a mess to try to get to this film, to see it as an early screening, but I was blown away. I bought this thing on Blu-ray recently. No other film this year sported the amazing villain that is the blind man from Don't Breathe. There's amazing tension in this film. There's great.
Not even Apocalypse was up there. Come on.
Do you want me to go in my bedroom and grab that .22 and put it in my mouth and just blow my head off? That would be more satisfying. I'm sorry, Oscar. I'm sorry, Oscar Isaac. I love you so, so much. I'm so sorry you had to go through all that suffering, but
this is the biggest thing we came out of that film for. Is we felt so bad for Oscar Isaac. We were like, Jesus Christ, because we had just come out of seeing The Force Awakens. He's so great in The Force Awakens. He's so great in Ex Machina.
He's a brilliant actor. He's a brilliant man. Come on.
And we're back, and now one of my favorite segments: trailers. I think it doesn't matter who goes first. I'll go first. I saw a trailer this week for a movie called Raw. It was a Red Band trailer, and it's about this vegan girl who goes to this, I don't know if it's a school or a camp, but she goes here, and all of a sudden she has her first taste of meat. Mm. And then things go bad from there. She enjoys meat so much that she develops a taste for human flesh. So it becomes kind of a cannibalistic film about eating, and it looks pretty, it's pretty intense, because like I said, I watched the Red Band trailer, which doesn't edit anything out. So yeah, it's pretty.
What was the meat that she had that turned her?
They cut open some kind of animal and like force fed it into her mouth. Like, yeah, they were like all in the, it was kind of cultish. They were all in these like jumpsuits and stuff, and they were all eating and dancing around. And then one person, she turned around and they shoved like a liver or something in her mouth, and she threw up first, but then she slowly started, I guess, wanting more and more meat and eating their meat from the trailer. And then it ends with a great shot of like this guy's making love to her, and she's gnawing on his arm and just kind of evilly glares up at the camera as blood's dripping down his arm. It's pretty cool looking, but yeah, that's mine. What about you?
Well, mine is called The Lure. Oh. I guess it just played at Sundance. It's coming to theaters this year, and it's kind of hard to explain. The first time I watched the trailer, I had to watch it a couple few times. Mm-hmm. Like, what did I just watch? The first time I watched the trailer, I thought it was about mermaids coming on the land and then going to work at a strip club for some reason, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I'm going to put a twist on that.
Which and they mix in like musical numbers. So, yeah, I had to rewatch it a couple times. Like, what did I just see? But basically, yeah, it's about a couple mermaids, and I guess they fall in love with this guy, and they come up on the land, and they start working at this nightclub that has adult entertainment. And it's supposed to be like a horror comedy kind of art house type film. It's hard to explain, but if you watch the trailer, I think
kind of like the one we talked about last week, the opera one, mm-hmm. and Rocky Horror.
Similar, but I think better. I mean, it looks crazy. Is all I can say. And if you have, there's actually two movies called The Lure. It's the one that's come out just recently. 2016, 2017.
So okay.
Is the one you want to look up when you look up a trailer.
Well, did you check the original one out? Or?
No, I don't think they're about the same thing.
Okay.
I think it's just the same movie name.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's from, this is a foreign film, so, you know, movie names are probably up for grabs.
Yeah.
In that respect. But yeah, The Lure.
Gotcha. Okay. And with that said, that brings us to the feature film today. It was, of course, 10 times better than
Stormtroopers.
In the Iron Song. But we watched Underworld Blood Wars. I keep wanting to say Underworld Blood Farts, because they do. They didn't like it. It came out early in Australia, and the Countdown podcast that I listened to, they didn't like it at all. Mm-hmm. They called it Underworld Blood Farts, and it made me laugh. So yeah. I keep wanting to say that. But so I want to start, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start by saying I'm like in a love-hate relationship with this series, this franchise of movies. Like, because I love the idea. You know, we all know the story of vampires and demons while they slept during the day. This takes it a step further. This goes beyond that. This says, okay, the werewolves revolted against the vampires because they want their freedom, which is, I think, is a great concept. And now we have this war that has been going on for years, and the vampires have developed these troops called Death Dealers, who hunt down werewolves and kill them, you know, which I love. And then you get Kate Beckinsale in a skin tight black leather suit.
Yes, you do.
You can't go wrong on that. And I should have had the credits for this. Who was all in this? But sorry about that. I'll put it on the show notes. But yeah, you know, you get all that in this, and yeah, that first one I loved it. I thought it was great. But then you kind of go too far in a series, and sometimes you lose your way.
Mm-hmm.
now, I wouldn't say that this one was completely horrible, but a little convoluted and it felt a bit rushed at times, I think, for me. I missed the first, I don't think, 5-10 minutes maybe, but still, I don't think I missed enough to... Nope. But yeah, what about you? What did you think about this?
Overall, I like the Underworld franchise. Mm-hmm. I liked the first movie. I thought it was great. Yep. I think they did something amazing with that. I even liked the second one. I love the hybrid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like what they did with Michael. You know, I even liked the third one, which was the prequel.
Yeah, they went back.
I thought they
took the revulsion out.
Mm-hmm, I thought they did that one really well, and I liked the way it played out. And I even liked the order that it came in, having the prequel there. Mm-hmm. It kind of fit in. It made sense. You kind of learned, you know. Those were great. Now, the next one that came out was after it
Evolution?
That, yeah. No, Evolution was the second one.
Okay.
Oh, I can't even remember the name of the fourth one. No, I want to say Awakening.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Evolution, Awakening. But that one, I felt like they were just throwing that one in there to keep it alive, and it just wasn't working. The actor, whoever played Michael, I don't know why he wasn't in that one, or if they were just trying to write him out, or if there was some conflict there.
Had he died by then?
No, he was still alive. That one, but I think I think they showed you that he died at some point in between.
Gotcha. Like in a flashback.
Yeah. And then his blood was being used or whatever. I don't know. It was cool, whatever. But yeah, that one lost me. That's one I was kind of like,
that the one with the William and like the sons of Corvinus? You have the original werewolf and the original vampire?
So that was Evolution.
Was that Evolution, the second one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm blanking completely on the fourth one.
The fourth one was when she was looking, I guess she was looking for Michael and found out she had a daughter or something.
Yeah,
he was the hybrid. And then she had to protect the daughter, and it was like, man, that guy let the daughter go so she doesn't get hurt or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was that one. It was kind of pointless for me, other than reintroducing the daughter.
Yes.
Which is
the main setup for this one.
Yeah, which you don't see her till you see her at the very end, but I don't know why. I don't know if they're saying there's going to be another movie where
they want more, I'm sure.
For me, Underworld now, the first three were great, but they've become sort of like, surprisingly, Resident Evil. Like, they've just gone too far with it. It just keeps dragging on, but they don't really add anything with each new movie.
They gave her new powers.
Her a new power, which is weird. It's kind of this... I don't know what was going on with these other vampires and why their hair was white, unless all of them went to this afterworld place and then got that power where they can move really fast, like wind or like smoke or something. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, when they get attacked, like, nobody does this.
Yeah.
And it would be so helpful, you know?
It's kind of weird.
It makes sense.
They were all old school. They were all like Shield and Sword while the werewolves were running with machine guns. Yeah. So I'm just like, this doesn't really seem even to me.
And I am now conflicted and confused on what kills a vampire.
Yeah, because, and I don't know what they're doing in this series, but I don't remember this from the other movies, though. But you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in the other movies, I think they died by, like, they're supposed to die, traditionally, for the most part.
UV rays,
stake to the heart, you know.
And you have to behead them.
Yeah, but now it's just like you can stab them in the mouth. Yeah, snap their neck, stab them in the mouth, all kinds of stuff.
Which I think, it even happened in one of the older ones where he was, I think, was it Victor that she may have stabbed or something like that? In that sewer scene, she stabbed him, which would have been fatal to anyone else, but the fact that he's a vampire, of course, he healed through it. And he didn't really die until he get his skull sliced in half.
Right.
But, yeah, and this one is like a throat cut.
Throat cutting,
Yeah, just simple things that you wouldn't think would kill a vampire that they would be able to heal through. Exactly. It kills a vampire.
They kind of changed the rules for this one.
Yeah, by their standards. And then there's... Yeah. So you're on this one. What do you think?
It's not a good movie. It's just... I mean, I enjoyed seeing Kate again. I mean, she still looks great.
Surprisingly. How old is she now?
I don't know. She's just... She's ridiculously hot. So
yes.
That was fun. But other than that, even her new power, I wasn't really all that impressed with. It was okay. I don't understand why, like, her hair only partially turned white. Like, maybe she hasn't gone through the process enough. Mm-hmm. She has to repeat it before she becomes totally white-haired or something and, you know, masters those powers. But I don't know. I just felt like they were reaching too far. It just, I don't know. They're not adding anything to it to me to make it better.
I wanted to like this one because, like I said, there are aspects of this franchise that I love, but
I love the design of the werewolves. I mean, yeah, there's little things
and that the I change, can say. Like when they are the changing, the
change is very unique. Mm-hmm. I love the way they do it, but even the villain in this one was okay. I mean, he wasn't grand.
I like that he was, like his little subplot where he has his spy in there, and then he's to connect it to the other movies. One of the other than the hybrid and Celine, this is kind of the only connection to the other movies. He's taking Michael's blood to make himself a faux hybrid, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's stronger than these other werewolves. That's why they all follow him, and that's why he's this most feared werewolf. Which I enjoyed. I kind of enjoyed him. I liked him. I wish he would have done more. But yeah, because he literally kills Celine. Spoilers. But like, out of just being,
yeah. When that scene though, when she dies, did you think it was weird that she's just like, what she? I don't even remember what she mumbled, but she kind of lifted up like some of the ice and Michael just like slipped in there, like she was going to take a nap or something.
So they're, they're in this frozen tundra area, like on the north, and they're fighting on a bed of ice with water underneath, and suddenly, when she finally gets her death blow, as Robert said, she just lifts a, like, the ice has been broken. She's laying on a floating piece, so she lifts a piece up, and I'm coming to you, Michael. And this kind of tucks herself into the ice.
No, is that what she says? Yeah. I'm coming to you, Michael.
Okay. Well, something to Michael. But, yeah, it was corny. What do you think of the third Olsen twin? That, or triplet, I guess. That was his lover.
Oh, that was her? Mm-hmm. Huh. Didn't realize that. No, that was. I didn't do anything for me. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Could have been anybody.
I hate that, like, I think the whole subplot of the Coven vampire chick, like, that kind of just went nowhere. Like, yeah, she's trying to take over the Coven, and yeah, she wants Celine's powers. And it was kind of like we're getting two things. Like, this guy wants Celine's daughter's powers. This chick wants Celine's powers because she thinks it's going to be the best. And it's like, why are you doing this? Like, we seen what Celine can do, and now we like, she has limitations. And
clearly, Celine had enough blood. She had that huge jug of blood that she mm-hmm. had to sip a little bit out of it. She could have given a little bit to every vampire, and everybody could have, like, you know, been immune to the sun.
Because clearly she didn't need to drink at all. Right. Because she drank, like, a quarter of it and just threw the rest out.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
Yeah.
And the whole conspiracy thing, they did it so much better in the first two. Than the first two. The whole conspiracy thing with who wanted to kill who. And they did that so much better than they did in these last couple. I don't know.
I'm
just taking the wrong turn.
Like, they're reaching for this now, and it's like, I think there's still good story here. I think there are places you can take this story, and it would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I love the concept. Like, you have this blood war going on, and now we have a new elder introduced, which if they do make sequels, hopefully they do that right. Like, you have this new elder introduced, you have Celine at his side, you have the
they said there's like at the end they said they introduced three new elders. I guess Selena was supposed to be an elder now.
They took that white haired chick.
That white haired chick and then that dude.
And yeah.
I guess they're in the new elder.
And Selena's the new elder, yeah.
Yeah, which is weird.
So yeah. But maybe now and I love that's one thing that I did love about this one. The fact that they acknowledge that vampires are losing because they refuse to accept new. Mm-hmm. They want to stick to their old customs and old ways while liking to upgrade themselves, make themselves better. That's why they keep like, because we come into this movie, and I'm not going to explain the entire Underworld plot, because everyone hopefully has seen a Underworld at least, but we come into this movie where Lycans have taken over just about everything. There are only two covens left, this one wasteland in the north, and then this one in the east, and this one in the east is supposed to be a fortress that no one has ever penetrated.
Yeah, they said both of them were like, so like fortress-like, and nobody's going to get in there, but then the werewolves, so of course, easily. They get in there, and so easily just run in. I thought that was kind of ridiculous.
And the reason why in the north it was because it's in this frozen wasteland, and the Warmbloods don't really come up here. But
it came up in force.
You would think you would still have some security just in case they did. Because Selene and I can't think of the new elder's name. But they just kind of just walk up in and just go in. And I greeted by one person who, you know, and it's like, oh, hey, welcome. We're not here to fight. Oh, and good.
The main villain was even saying, like, they don't fight up there. Mm-hmm. But yet they did kind of try to put up a fight. And then they even helped storm the Eastern Coven. So,
oh, Lord of the Rings style. Yeah, they came like the elves. these people are weird. They keep to themselves. They don't help us. But then they came and just backed us up like the elves did. Yeah, J.R. Tolkien. I want this series to work, and I'm sure there probably will be another, because all the horn dogs went out and saw Kate McKinsale in skin tight clothes, but I don't know, man.
There's not a whole lot going for it right now, but no. I think there's still room for improvement. They haven't lost, you know, the fan base completely. They might have a couple sucky movies in there, but they can bring it back with a really good one if they try. You know,
I agree. I think, yeah.
And I think the story of her hybrid daughter would be pretty interesting to see something with. And they do hint at, you know, the hybrid daughter at the very end of this one. So if they did a movie with her,
maybe. Because Michael's pretty BA.
Maybe Selena takes a backseat as an elder and maybe a lesser role in the movie, and it's about some new blood coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can probably do something good.
Because now there is legitimately, I would assume, one combined coven, you know, to rule them all. And now they're going to try and rebuild their vampire foundation. And there will, of course, be another Lycan leader that rises up. But, yeah, that's...
The one thing after the leader of the Lycan died, the leader of the vampires was just like, okay, your leader's dead, leave.
Here's his head.
And then,
get out.
And then all the werewolves like obeyed him just like they used to back in the day
yeah.
when they were still slaves. So I was like, huh? It should be.
And it seems to be, because they kind of pointed that out earlier on, like, it seems to be an issue with the Lycans, even though they haven't been slaves for centuries. Like, you have to keep telling them, you're not slaves anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, because I forgot the leader of the Lycans' name now. But he comes in at one point, and the Lycans are bickering between one another, which could be a social commentary on you know, what's going on now. But the Lycans are bickering with each other, and he says, we're not slaves anymore. Are you a slave? You know, he asked him, are you a slave? And he's like, no. Well, good. The only way we can survive this is by coming together and you know, taking it to him. So, yeah, I don't know, but still, I'm hoping that this next Lycan leader, if they do another one, that, because we've seen the betrayal three times now, you know, from the inside of the vampires, and we've seen, I think the best Lycan leader was in the first movie. He was great. And I wish I remembered his name right now for drinking a little bit. Sorry, guys.
Marcus.
There we go. Marcus. Yeah. But yeah, I thought he was great. And then I liked Victor just because he made those noises. But yeah. but I even thought William was great, even though he couldn't go human. William was a great Lycan. But yeah, so hopefully, if there is another movie, they see the potential that they have and they don't squander it just for effects and things like that. At that ending, like, it's kind of like they come out, your leader is dead. This is his head. Leave. Then, flash forward. Everyone's getting abducted into the coven. We're all happy. Yeah, party. Then, flash forward. I have to do this. I've been alive 1,000 years. I'll maybe alive 1,000 more. Here's my daughter.
Mm.
Credits. It's like, yeah. I don't know. But Underworld, guys, would you recommend it?
I do not recommend it.
Oh.
However, I do recommend the first three.
Yes. I would say wait for Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or whatever it comes out on, and then watch, you know, kind of do a binge watching, like you said, for four if you want. But, you know, just kind of wait and watch it. I don't think you need to rush out and see it. But, yeah, that's Underworld Blood Wars. That would bring us to suggestions. I need to think of a theme song. I like theme songs. I don't know why, but I need to think of one for suggestions. You want to go first there?
Sure. I am going to suggest the movie Housebound.
Housebound? I haven't heard of this
one. I think this one, if I remember right, it's Australian. I can never remember. I'm pretty sure it is. It starts out as a supposed ghost story, mm-hmm. like a haunted house story, but it turns into so much more. I would tell you what movie it reminds me of, but it would ruin the whole thing for you, so I won't do that. But it goes in so many different directions. You think it's one thing. I was almost disappointed at the beginning of it because I'm like, is this going to be another haunted, you know, house story? I don't want to, you know, that's boring. But it goes somewhere completely different. I was like, yes, it went there. It surprised me. And I love movies that do that. So Housebound, check that one out. It'll surprise you, and I think you will enjoy it.
Awesome. Mine this week is Her. Her is a film starring Joaquin Phoenix and the voice of Scarlett Johansson. And surprisingly, that's all you need. Yeah, I don't know what it is about Joaquin Phoenix, because this is my second suggestion from him. But I think when he's on, he's on. He's a great actor, and he can pull things off. This one is kind of in the same vein of Lars and the Real Doll. Real Girl. I checked that, and it's Lars and the Real Girl. But he's this awkward guy who kind of needs a companion, and this is set in the future. He gets... technology is out now to where you can get a virtual companion that you get
your own personal Siri that isn't a Siri.
Yeah, kind of like the Amazon Echo or the Google Home, and it'll do whatever you want for you, except this one will also have conversations with you. Well, they fall in love, and he
falls in love with her.
He falls in love with her. She's a robot, so she does a simulation, an incredible simulation of this. And, you know, he's just as happy as can be now, and he's shunning real people for her, and, you know, he kind of just revolves his life around her, and turns out she realizes that, well, I don't want to go too much into it, because this is just, check this one out. It's a pretty interesting movie. It has me hooked from start to finish.
Yeah, I highly recommend it as well.
Yeah, it's a great rewatch as well, so check out Her. And that, I think, will bring us to, we're moving right along here, but as we said once before, poopy movies means fast podcasts. the biggest bad guy movie battle thing, and I don't have my list right now because my phone's about to die. Who do we have this week? Do you have both?
We are at number four, correct?
Number four, yes.
We are with Max Cady, mm-hmm. My Pick, Cape Fear, played by Robert De Niro. And yours was Hannibal.
Oh, and this is the second appearance by Hannibal or first?
You said Hannibal from Hannibal, so...
Okay, Hannibal from Hannibal. I mean, but it's Hannibal. It's Hannibal Lecter. Which one do you want to go first?
For no, you go right ahead.
We all know Hannibal Lecter.
How can you not love Hannibal?
How can you not love Hannibal Lecter?
He's a teddy bear you don't want to hug.
You want to keep your distance from this one. This teddy bear, he's not a Tickle Me Elmo. You tickle him, he may eat your face. But he, in most of the Silence of the Lamb, the movie trilogy, unless you count Maneater, Hannibal's behind bars. That's how we know Hannibal. He's captured. I guess there's also the prequel. Can't forget that, Hannibal Rising, which is great. This is the creation of Hannibal. But this man is maniacal. He is dangerous. He's a genius. He works alongside a cop, which eventually is his downfall. But up until then, and like even when he's working with another cop in behind the cell, he's still planning and plotting and just waiting, biding his time. He's the perfect criminal, in my opinion. And in Hannibal, the TV show, not giving too much away because I want Robert to watch that. I don't know if he's watched it yet.
Not yet.
But we're not giving too much away. Like, we get to see an extension of that that Red Dragon relationship that he had with that with the officer who actually eventually caught him, Will Graham. But Hannibal is just as maniacal as you know him to be. And he's just as calm in what you would think would be the most tense situations. And he is, yeah. What more can you say about Hannibal? What about, go ahead.
Well, first I'd like to mention Hannibal's number two.
Yes.
So I have him a little bit higher up.
So I think either way, Hannibal's going to be moving up.
Yeah, he's going to be in there somewhere. mine, Max Cady, I don't think he's not on Hannibal's level. I'll admit that.
And this is from Cape Fear, Chris, which I have not seen yet.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. But I don't want to ruin the movie for you because you haven't seen it because it's so brilliant. I think it's a brilliant movie. So well done. Everybody, every single actor in this is awesome. From the dad, the mom, the daughter, to Max, all of them are just on point. But basically, Max is a criminal. He is a criminal. Mm-hmm. He's not an innocent guy who went to jail, who was falsely accused. He's an actual criminal, but he comes back and he wants revenge against a particular lawyer because he didn't think the lawyer did a good enough job representing him. And he was right. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. The lawyer withheld some evidence that he should have put in there or shouldn't have put in there, whatever it was. He did something that he shouldn't have done as a lawyer. And he's upset with this, so he goes after him and his family to get revenge when he finally does get out of prison. And the thing that he went to prison for, he was guilty of it.
Okay.
And he performed, you know, criminal acts after that.
But his
point was his lawyer should have defended him. That was his job. He should have defended him correctly, but he didn't. There was certain evidence that was withheld.
Gotcha.
So that's basically, but he does it brilliantly. He just doesn't do it like, he just, you know, I'm going to go to your house and I'm going to, you know, keep ringing your doorbell in the middle of the night so you can't get any sleep. He doesn't do that. I mean, he is methodical. He does all kinds of stuff to mess with these people's lives to where it drives them nuts. I mean, they run off. They're so frightened and nobody can stop this guy. They get the police involved. You know, they get private investigators. It doesn't do any good. This guy is like at the top of his game. And he plays innocent the entire time, too. He's like, he's doing all this stuff, but nobody can really, you know, pin it on him because he's playing innocent the whole time. Yeah, everybody knows he's a criminal, but he's just doing it so brilliantly. Mm-hmm. He's getting away with it. So that's my point. It's like he's getting away with it. It's in plain sight. It's not like Hannibal Lecter. You know he's crazy. Mm-hmm. But this guy, he's nuts, but nobody really knows it. And nobody really knows he's doing what he's doing because he's doing it so brilliantly.
Do you know Hannibal's crazy when you were initially talking to him?
From the Silence of the Lambs?
Well, when he's in a cell.
You realize this dude is an apex predator. You realize you're prey.
You're the whole time. You're a mouse in his game.
I feel like...
So if you met him on the street free... You would realize instantly that this guy is out to get you.
I think so, because he's that type of person that would talk to you. You would realize he's fishing for information to manipulate you on the spot.
Trying to dance
around. And you'd be like, okay, this guy's the real deal. Mm-hmm. Max Cady is just regular dude. You don't see him coming.
Now, if you do this, if you throw in Hannibal's profession, if you know that he's a psychotherapist, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it fits so well. But, I mean, I can still see where you... It would put you off a little bit. Like, even talking to a therapist puts you off a little bit because you know they're trying to get something from you to see what makes you tick or what's wrong with you or whatever. I see your point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just I think you see it coming with Hannibal more so than you do it with Max. You don't see it at all with Max. And it even goes after the teenage daughter of the guy, the lawyer, and completely don't want to say the word. Mm-hmm. Humps her to the point where she's like, you know, she's like, he like sends her a book with like different positions that you get into and different stuff that she should, yeah, well, stuff that she shouldn't be learned about quite yet from this guy. Yeah. And then he like talks to her about it, like in front of the parents. Like he grabs them, he gets everybody together, and he's like, "So you've been reading that book I sent you?" And she's like, "Yeah, I have." And the parents are just like, "What?" So
how is this girl?
I want to say like 15, 14, okay. 15.
This isn't the movie it's where he's Juliette like, Lewis. "She has a great ass."
No.
Okay.
It's played by Juliette Lewis. I'm pretty sure I just said her name.
From
Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk Till Dawn, yeah.
She almost kind of plays a similar character in From Dusk Till Dawn. Mm-hmm. It's like that. So, yeah. I don't know what it is about Max. I just feel like if in the real world, this guy would be able to do whatever he wanted. Yes, I don't want to ruin the end of the movie. Most movies, usually the bad guy loses, so that's all I'll say. But, yeah. I think this guy would be able to do anything he wanted to do. He's that's smart.
I honestly think this is my biased opinion because I love him so much, but I don't think any real life cop could catch Hannibal Lecter.
But he was in jail for
no, in the movies I know. I'm saying and I don't think all of them are too stupid.
I think Hannibal would have to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Or just be caught in a situation where he was overwhelmed and got caught. Mm-hmm. But if he was one-on-one, no, I don't think anybody would outsmart Hannibal. I don't think it's possible.
See, and this is one where the fact that I haven't seen Cape Fear yet, which I apologize, kind of puts me because I can't really comment other than what I've heard from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I you've seen them both, so I'm going to go off to you. What do you think of this one?
That's a tough one for me
because we will see Hannibal again. So
we'll see Hannibal against Asmodeus.
Oh,
which is also a tough one.
So I can see in this instance, if Hannibal loses, I won't be horrible upset because I know he's coming back, and I've hurt myself in this one because I should have watched the movie beforehand.
But even so, it's kind of hard because, like I said, I have Hannibal and also on my list.
Yes.
So
above this guy.
Yeah, but so I think he's he's pretty darn formidable as far as the villain goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though I love Hannibal Rising, I love Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't crazy about Red Dragon, and I wasn't crazy about Hannibal.
Mm-hmm. I still can't wait till you see the series. I want to hear your opinion on that. Yeah.
But I still think Hannibal is up there. He's like I said, he's my number two. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that he beats Max. I mean, on my own list, it would contradict my own list if I said that. But yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely going with Hannibal on this.
Okay.
I can't not.
And I promised you guys I will watch Cape Fear, and if we need to, are you willing to have a rehash?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So, we're going to say Hannibal moves forward. Oh, what if we get Hannibal v. Hannibal?
That would be cool. Well, my Hannibal is from Silence of the Lambs specifically.
Yes, specifically. So. Gotcha. But, yeah, that... moves up Hannibal. He's going forward. I need to go ahead and compile. If my phone was up, I'll compile the next combatants because those are working out on gowatchmovie.com. But for now, Hannibal moves forward, and I'll get that list to you. And you guys can check that out and find us on gowatchmovie.com. You can listen to the podcast on that site as well. It has been redone completely to suit the podcast. Find us on iTunes, and please leave a review on there and subscribe if you so would be so kind. You can find us on Podomatic.com, the host site for Go Watch a Movie, and just about anywhere else a podcast can be found, you can find us there. Also, if you want to go on Facebook and like the page, Go Watch a Movie, Facebook.com, something along those lines. And on Twitter, at Watch a Movie or Go Watch a Movie. Lots of Go Watch a Movie. You can find us pretty much there. And if you go to GoWatchAMovie.com, it has links to all of those other things, even our Instagram as well. Also, I wanted to apologize this week because last week we had some mic issues. But I put that podcast out anyway because both of those movies were so good, and discussion was so good. I like the organicness of it. So apologize for that. Anything else from you?
I think Steve should apologize to us. That's what I think.
You hear that, Steve? You need to apologize for us, for Zone Troopers freaking selling to me as Nazis versus aliens.
Just hearing that alone, Nazis versus aliens.
Yeah, and you're hooked. You're like, okay, well, I gotta watch this movie.
Not me. I'm like, no, I don't want to see it.
Not anymore.
No, you cured me of that one, buddy. Thanks.
But yeah, that was a short episode, but the plan is hopefully, like, I want to take your suggestions. We have another suggestion lined up, but, you know, if something else is more appealing, we'll watch that too. So leave your suggestions on the Facebook page or email us or on the Twitter page, and we will watch it and we will shout you out on the show. But please, I mean, we have some more things down the pipeline. One sounds like Robert is gearing up for, which I enjoy. But when we're ready to reveal that, we'll reveal that. I just want to kind of get it a little bit more organized, and I don't want it a carbon copy of what we're doing now. So, oops, got another spoiler there. But anyway, just follow us, like us, do all that stuff, all that social media stuff. That's how we get the word out. GoWatchAMovie.com. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.